God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A quick question before we get started today. Do we have any faithful followers of Jesus here today? Well, you say that and then you leave. They're following to the Sunshine Room. I don't know. But either way, I'm glad to know that. There were fewer than I imagined at the early service. So how many faithful followers of Jesus? Well, we're getting there. And we keep asking. Eventually, we're going to get bold enough to raise our hand. That in itself, perhaps, a gift that some of us still have, and maybe some of us don't yet. Oh, maybe this is about as high as we can get. But the reality is this. If we are truly followers of Jesus, as we listen to our gospel readings, these last couple of weeks, we are hearing that it sounds like the Master is going to be away for a while. You may have noticed the Master has been away for a while. And it's not just about knowing he's going to be away for a while, but there's this concept of being prepared. You may remember the parable of the bridesmaids who, you know, didn't bring any extra oil and sort of got locked out. Well, this week we're hearing about the parable of the talents. The master has left in charge of his servants money in this parable, by the way, but it expands beyond the concept of money. But it applies there too. I don't want to forget that in the middle of, you know, trying to meet the budget. But the reality is there's so much more to it than just that. There's this concept that God gives gifts. The master gives the gifts. And we listen to what's happening, and it seems a little peculiar that this one received five, and this one received two, and this one received one. Now, in our world, that's immediately we start thinking of a hierarchy, right? Now, if you're number one, that's a good thing, but if somebody's giving things away and you only get one, maybe something's not right with you. So I think sometimes we're just so caught up in that, and I think it's intentional to hear it this way. I think Jesus is trying to be very clear. It has absolutely nothing to do with how many. It has to do with how you use it. Now, for those of you who did raise your hand and proclaim yourself faithful followers of Jesus, you need to understand today, if you don't already, you have a gift from God. Now, I do not want you to be confused with a blessing. So when I think about my greatest gift from God, what generally comes to mind is my greatest blessing that I've received from God, who happens to be sitting over here. My wife, I mean, the baby also, but that's like number eight. Now, we have to remember, that is my blessing. See, God blesses us. And he blesses me. I have no idea why, but I'm grateful. But he gives gifts. And the gifts are for one reason only, just as were the talents in the parable. They are for the building up of his kingdom. And he entrusts them to us. They are still his, just as the talents belong to the master in the parable. We are charged with what will you do with them? So the first two, the first servant received five, and he worked with what he had and made five more. And when that happened, the master returned to see what had, after being away a long time, settled the accounts, and he says this in verse 21 in response to the one who received the five talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And then he brings the other slave comes forward, to see where the account status was. He had given him two. He had made two more. And what was the response? His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Now, the last one who received one buried it in the ground. I don't know why. I get a hint as I listen to the reading over and over again. He was afraid. "So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground." And somehow thought that would be a reasonable response to the gift that the master gave. Brothers and sisters, as I look at God's church, knowing full well what is true in Scripture, each and every person who claims to be a follower of Jesus has at least one gift. Amen? And then I have to ask the famous question that we always ask, people like me anyway, to those who we are called to lead: what are your gifts? Do you know what the primary answer is? I don't know. Really? So, are we saying we don't have a gift from God? Or are we saying we don't know what it is? And as I think about this, I was reflecting back on my time in school, which didn't go well, by the way. College and seminary were different. I'm talking about the first 12 years or 13 years, I guess it is. I missed one. Well, I probably really missed two, but one of them I just didn't bother to go. And I would know what the assignments were, and I knew when they were due. And I would still not do them. And I would arrive before the teacher, and we have a few teachers here, and probably one or two students that were like me. And the teacher would say, "Brian, do you have the assignment," whatever it may be? And I'm like, "Oh, is that due today?" When I knew I stayed up half of the night worrying because I knew I didn't do the assignment. Amen? Anybody? Just me? Okay, it was just me. And I think about this truth as a follower of Jesus. This truth that by the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and the recognition of that truth, we have a gift from God. But we have a really natural instinct, some of us, to just act like we don't know that. And so we are perfectly happy when asked, "Do you know what are your gifts?" You just go, "I don't know. Maybe I don't have any." Now, the slave who received the one talent was described in two ways. First, he described himself as being in fear. Later, the master will just call him lazy. That's a fairly harsh word. It's something I aspire to. But the reality is, when we think about this, brothers and sisters, we may see other people in our community and people around us that just seem to have these incredible gifts for doing God's work. And then we think, I don't have any of those. Well, you need to know this. If you leave here not knowing anything new today but this, hear this. You, by default, as a follower of Jesus, have been given a gift from God for the purpose of building up his kingdom. Guaranteed. It's in the book. And we believe that to be true. And then we get afraid. And sometimes we take that gift and we bury it. And to be honest, I think one of the reasons we do that is because we've seen the person who seemed to have more resources from God that's out there doing the work, and suddenly you look at them going, I don't want to start doing that work because I watched that person start doing the work, and now I see them, they started doing this, and now they're doing this. And I don't want to get that close to the church, brother, because if I get that close to the church, that's going to be too much work. Oh, now we're lazy, not afraid. Let me tell you this. For the person who's done that, for the person who's moving in their gifts, and now I won't lie, sometimes the church puts people in places that are not their gifting. That is not a good thing. That's why you got to know what it is. You got to discern with God what your gift is so that you get into the right place. Because I promise you this, when someone is working in their gifts, anybody in here working in your gifts? Do you get tired of working in your gifts? I never get tired of working in my gifts. Now, my body sometimes gets tired, and sometimes my mind gets tired, and I fall asleep or pass out, more so, on the couch. But the reality is this. I never grow weary when I'm doing God's work using the gifts that God gave me. People come to me all the time. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. You look tired. I am. And we live in a world right now where all I hear about is clergy burnout. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they're not working in their gifts. Some of you need a priest from time to time and have said, I didn't want to bother you. But let me just say this publicly and very clear. Nothing bothers me more than to find out one of God's people that have been entrusted to me needed a priest and they didn't call me. Their priest. That will wake me up at night. If you wake me up in the middle of the night because you need a priest and I come and I minister to you, I'm going to go home and go right back to sleep. If I find out 3 days later, I'm going to be awake half the night. Because that's why I'm here. Always, number one. I don't grow weary when I'm moving using the gifts that God has given me, and you won't either. So first of all, I'd say don't be afraid. The other thing I would say is don't be lazy. But more importantly, do not be unaware of the simple truth that you have a gift. Let's figure out what it is. Let's make sure you're working in it so that we can do what God's called us to do, which is join in the work of building up his kingdom. It will matter. It does matter. We need to hear these truths. And one who has one gift receives the very same reward as one who has five gifts. It's not a competition. I have seen that. There was a church nearby my work that worked with people who were struggling with addiction. And from time to time, I would hire one of those people to work for me. And they had these Thursday night services where they prayed for people to receive spiritual gifts, which, by the way, I consider a very excellent way to spend your time praying that you would receive the gifts from God. The odd thing is they had a checklist. And I had literally sat in a conversation where they're saying, what gifts have you received on Thursday night so far, and which one do you want to get next? And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's how it works. But you have to admire the fact that they wanted them, amen? I mean, they wanted to be so close to their God that they knew the way in which they were moving was driven by him. There are times when I look at us, myself included, in my own journey, and I wonder, should I even say what I'm going to say? Well, it's kind of my gift. The most common spiritual gift that seems to be present within our tradition, not biblically, seems to be feigned humility. Let me tell you what I mean by that, since I just made it up. I'm practically a theologian. We see something needs to be done. We know in the depth of who we are that we should be doing it. And what comes out of our mouth is, I think this is a really great idea. This is an amazing ministry. I don't want to take somebody else's place that might want to do it. They probably have more gifts than I do in that area. Sound familiar? I mean, that's ringing very, very clear at the depth of my soul. Right out of these lips, that has come. And I would say, brothers and sisters, if it's coming out of yours, you got to know that it started in your heart, as Scripture would say. That's what's coming out of your mouth. That may be your gifting. Now, you may be afraid, and you may think that you're going to get it wrong, so you're just going to hide that gift. And when you get to stand before Jesus and say, yeah, I knew that was my gift, Lord, but, you know, I didn't want to screw it up. Okay. Now, I have to admit, I was raised in a denomination that did an excellent job of putting into me the fear of God. That was not a bad thing for me. I need some serious motivation to keep going, brothers and sisters, in case you were unaware. So there are times when I know I'm supposed to be doing something, and I'm thinking maybe somebody else could do that. Maybe somebody could probably do it better. I don't want to screw it up. Or I may just be lazy in the moment. And the thing that moves me is I'm going to have to make account to the master. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be standing there like I have hundreds of times in my life before a teacher and said, oh, was that due today? Yeah, it's due today. And what did the master say? Verse 26, but his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave. Oh, you knew, did you? You knew who I was and what I would do. You knew. Huh, isn't that interesting? I'll tell you what, we'll just take away what you have because you clearly aren't interested in serving this master. And I'm going to give it to somebody who is interested in serving me as their master. He goes, for to all those who have more, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is Jesus' teaching, brothers and sisters. The one where we are so quick and ready to receive the blessings, the one that we want to be living within us, the one we want to move with, the one we want to work with, the one we want to work through us, amen? When we claim him, we are claiming something bigger. And he is claiming us at such a level that he desires us to be alongside of him. I don't know why. I can't tell you how many times I've sat and found myself in the midst of something thinking, God, why did you put me here? That's why. That doesn't even make sense to you, does it? Why are you there? Because you don't know what to do. And what you have to do next is going to be him working through you. Brothers and sisters, if every single thing you do for the building up of God's kingdom is making you comfortable and safe, you are probably not working in the gift that God gave you. That I believe I can promise to be true. Father, do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. When you get out there and you're like, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to do, and there you go, you just keep moving, and suddenly you're in the midst of it, and maybe this has happened to some of you, I pray it's happened to many of you, and in the midst of whatever that was, you're thinking, if I had to plan this, and I'm trying to plan it, and I don't know what to do, and then you went anyway, and you showed up, and you were present, and you get to the other side, that story sounds like this. The most amazing thing happened. I couldn't believe the words that came out of my own mouth. I was saying them and hearing them at the same time. And I could just sense the presence of God, hair standing up on my arms, and I was like, this is amazing. That's what it's like to move in your gifts. Incredible things happen. But sometimes we're afraid. Good. You should be nervous. If you're going to go do God's work and God's will through the power of God indwelling you, oh, you better be nervous. You stop being nervous. You've claimed that gift for yourself. And I promise you, as soon as you do that, you have limited what God intended to do with it. Just like the servant who received the one talent didn't even explore what it could do. Buried it in fear. We're supposed to take risks with the gifts that God gives us. Now, you know I know that's true. Stick around me. Come to a finance committee meeting. But do we see the glory of God? Can we see God moving in our uncomfortableness? How many people in the last 6 months have walked into a ministry not knowing what to do next, knowing full well that you didn't know how to do it, you didn't even want to do it, and then somehow you found yourself doing it? And coming out the other side going, wow, that was pretty cool. Now here's what you have to remember. That's what God did through you. That's a gift. That's how you know you're working in it. So I want to encourage you to work in your gifts, brothers and sisters. I want you to hear the fullness of this teaching. Count your blessings by all means, but use your gifts. You start using your gifts, you're going to run out of fingers to be counting your blessings. That I promise you. Feigned ignorance that there was a project due isn't going to cut it. Throw it out for the confirmands too. They have a project due today. Everybody just went, what is it? But that feigned ignorance isn't going to cut it. The master has given you a gift. There will be an accounting that comes. I know I'm not supposed to say that. I'm Episcopalian and I sound like a Baptist. But that's what it says. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. He's really trying to say this, followers of Jesus. You are either working with Christ or you're not. There are no spectators in the work of building up the kingdom, and there will be no spectators in the kingdom.